Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 26 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're here to give you the rundown of all the latest happenings in the theme park world from attractionsmagazine.com and our lives in general. And boy, howdy, there was this is a week, huh?
Yeah, that's the understatement of the year, Banks.
My God, like, obviously what we're here to talk about is taxes. I mean, April 15th is right around the corner, so we want to make sure everyone here is ready to go filing their W-2s.
And 1099s for my freelancers out there.
Yeah. No, obviously, of course, the elephant in the room here is a lot of talk about the coronavirus or COVID-19, many names for this, and a lot of closures happening in the theme park world. And obviously, you know, we're the Attractions Podcast, so we're going to talk about a lot of that stuff. And we'll get to that later. That will be our main attraction for this podcast. But we do have a few things that we can discuss outside of all that. So, you know, it's not going to be all doom and gloom.
It's like, if you had to divide it up into percentage, it's like 30% doom and gloom and then like 70%. Nice, unless you like count main attractions as a higher percentage than it.
I think it's the other way around.
Okay, so like 70% bum out and 30% nice stuff.
First off,
it's crazy because at the start of this week, I thought our first topic was going to be like the topic of the week, you know?
Yeah, right. Oh my God, because there's so much to that, and you know, we'll get to that here in a second. But first of all, I just want to make sure everyone out there is doing good, you're staying safe, you're self-isolating, and you know, keeping clean, all that fun stuff. Please be sure to, you know, do what you can to combat this. It's definitely a difficult time, unprecedented time for a lot of people, but it's not all scary. We're all gonna get through this, and we'll get out ahead on the other side.
Yeah, just make sure you stay indoors, avoid large groups of people, usually groups over 50, support local businesses, buying gift cards, ordering food on DoorDash, and tipping your drivers handsomely, get them to leave your food on the porch. I just did that. Purchase art from artists, see GoFundMes and throw some money at them. You know, we're all kind of suffering with this here.
Yeah. This affects not only just the, you know, theme park industry, but so many different businesses and industries around the country and around the world. So just, you know, if you can do what you can, if you can do something, do it. But otherwise, you know, just stay safe. All right. Are you going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I heard a breath and I was like, oh, did I interrupt?
I was, but you basically said everything that I wanted to say.
Very cool. Well, we got a lot to talk about on our plate here. Let's just go ahead and jump right in. Our personal lives have pretty much been nonstop. I know we usually kind of talk about, you know, what's going on in our lives, but everything that's been going on in our lives will probably be talked about in the main attractions. So let's just jump right into news in the queue.
All right. Well, this is what I thought we were going to be talking about for the topic of the show, but the universe started to collapse. An opening date, along with a bunch of other stuff, has been revealed for Avengers Campus coming to Disney California Adventure Park at Disneyland Resort this summer. Mm-hmm. It will officially open, hopefully, on July 18th.
Barring any other worldwide pandemics.
In this new land, guests will be recruited as the next generation of superheroes by all their favorite Avengers, including Spider-Man, Captain America, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, Thor, Black Panther, and more. And they shared a literal ton of information. And
I was shocked at the amount of details.
I'm kind of mad I didn't get to go to that media preview. I would have loved to have seen all of that.
It definitely felt like it was a very small group of people.
Mm-hmm. I saw Carly Wiza was there. She was the only person that I follow.
We
on
love
Twitter,
Carlo.
But they shared food, characters you can meet in the land, merchandise, and they gave more details for the land's first attraction, Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure. So let's start with the characters. So when it opens on July 18th, many of your favorite Marvel superheroes will all be in one place. And those characters include, now these are the ones that you will see in the land and have the potential to meet. We don't really know if they're going to be roaming or if they will be in stationed meet and greet areas. It's likely they'll be roaming to kind of keep the immersion, like in Galaxy's Edge. Spider-Man, Captain America, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Okoye, and the Dora, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Thor, the Guardians of the Galaxy, meaning Gamora, Groot, and Star-Lord, Black Widow, and Iron Man. And you will also see some villains. The only two that they mentioned were Loki and Taskmaster, who you would recognize if you played the Spider-Man game on PS4 or in Black Widow, which is still on track to release in theaters this May.
This is insane.
Yeah.
My God.
Huge cast. Huge cast.
And they pretty much officially confirmed that the Spider-Man Stunt-tronic will be used to basically start off a Spider-Man meet and greet. You'll see him sling through the air, and then wherever the Stunt-tronic lands, you'll see Spider-Man come out and do a meet and greet.
And they also talked about how guests will see various fight scenes, I suppose, unfold throughout the day at the Avengers headquarters, which will be the location of the e-ticket attraction once it opens.
Phase
two. So it's going to be a while. I guess we'll see either Captain America, Black Panther, or Black Widow take on Taskmaster and other foes throughout the day on the building itself. Taskmaster, if you don't know, he kind of adopts the fighting styles of the heroes he's fighting with. So if you see him with Captain America, he might use a shield. If you see him fighting Black Panther, he might fight Black Panther exactly like Black Panther fights other bad guys.
Well, so, it's if you've seen the latest trailer, you see him have the kind of gloves that have the claws like Black Panther, so he might have something like that.
Yeah. He was a major pain in the butt in the Spider-Man PS4 game, which was my first exposure to the character. It'll be interesting to see how he's portrayed in the land. And it's kind of cool that they're using this as like a promo adjacent for the new Black Widow film too.
Yeah, especially because like they brought in the choreographers that did all the stunts for Black Widow for the movie to choreograph these fight scenes for the land.
So expect to see flips, jumps, some stage punching, all that good stuff.
And it's a great way to use this this building exterior that isn't going to be an entrance yet. It's a great way to just kind of incorporate that into the land as a tease for the future.
And if you're wondering how Black Widow and Iron Man and Captain America and other related heroes that their plot lines were finished in Endgame, you can thank the Marvel Multiverse for that. That's the official excuse.
It's something about, like, because the Doctor Strange has an ancient sanctorum that is there in the land that is emitting like a lot of like time and space through the cracks that could cause any character to appear now from any point in time. It's basically, as Doctor Who would say, timey wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. Yeah. So just to kind of explain that, which, you know, it's cool that they actually kind of worked on coming up with a in-universe solution to that.
Yeah, because that is a similar problem at Galaxy's Edge right now. I'm sure you all have heard the rumors, and we've talked about it, of Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian appearing in the land, possibly, and how that's kind of a conflict issue with the timeline. So this is Marvel's way of avoiding all of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, as for merchandise, most of it is stuff you would expect. Patches, apparel, pins, action figures. There's a really cool STEM-inspired kit that you can make different little science experiments with.
That's cool.
There's official Avengers Campus, like, recruit gear, like athleisure, which looks kind of nice. Mm-hmm. There's Spider-Man goggles and web shooters that you can get, and the goggles have like the the shutters on them, like mm-hmm. Spidey's actual eyes do, and they do the thing. The key merchandise item for this land is called a spider bot, and it is featured in the Spider-Man attraction Web Slingers. Only these guys are much more friendly, and they're kind of like your immersive pet adjacent, similar to the Banshees and Pandora and the droids yeah. in Galaxy's Edge. You can customize them with different kind of decals. These are pre-built, so you don't go to a place and you build them. There are backpacks that you can get where you can attach your spider bot in a spider web. You can transform them to look like Spider-Man, Ant-Man, Iron Man, Black Panther, the Wasp, basically any of the characters you can see in the land. We don't have a price on them, but they're supposed to be interactive to a degree.
That's so cool.
So, that's cool. I would expect them to be expensive.
Oh, I guarantee you, because, like, the size of them were bigger than I expected.
Uh-huh. They're like, you could hold one in the palm of your hand, but it would be bigger than the palm of your hand, I think. I mean, I know that they're bigger than my hands.
Right.
All right. As for food, there's three locations. They're described in Pym Test Kitchen, which has a test kitchen and a brewery, and then there are two food carts. So the main food location is called Pym Test Kitchen, where Pym Technologies from Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp use Pym particles to grow and shrink different foods that you can try. You can get a giant Bavarian pretzel. You can get Impossible Spoonful, which is a giant spoon with a tiny fork featuring very large and very small impossible meatballs. You can get a giant Pym Mini that can serve, I think, 6 people. Or you can get a single serving portion, but the giant multi-portion is literally huge. It's like 3 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
There's a not-so-little chicken sandwich, which is a normal-sized bun and a relish, but the chicken patty is like big enough for 5 or 6 sandwiches.
I think that might be my favorite item. I think it's not a regular-sized bun. From the photo they released, it actually looks like it's a slider. Sure.
Yeah, okay, bun. So it's already playing tricks on me. So it looks like a shrunken bun and also a very large chicken breast.
Yeah, yeah. And if you notice, like, there's in the giant pretzel, they attach to it, I'm assuming it is a little souvenir when you buy it. It's like, it's one of those little discs from Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp that they throw to cause things to shrink and grow large. I forget the name of those discs. But you see it embedded in the giant pretzel.
Yeah, they're Pym particles, but I think, yeah, you're right. I think there might be a name for the disc part.
Right.
There are also drinks. You can have, I'm going to say this wrong, Pingo Doce soda? Bruce Banner talked about working at that soda factory or something once, and that's where they got it from. And then there's a Proton peanut butter and jelly punch with Odwalla lemonade, strawberry, and peanut butter flavors. Next to Pym Test Kitchen will be Pym Tasting Lab, housed inside of a giant oversized beer can.
Oh my god.
Adults can order a craft beer or try one of the research staff's Pym Particle Infused Cocktail Experiments. They will offer 4 different beer cocktails, as well as snacks like popped grains, mini pretzels, and salted honey roasted peanuts. So that's the Pym Tasting Lab in On the Whole. And then there's also the Shawarma Palace, because it's not a Marvel-themed land without shawarma.
Perfect.
And this is a food cart. You'll find this filling and offering all sorts of shawarma-inspired snacks, and you'll recognize the Shawarma Palace food cart because it's going to be covered in Avengers memorabilia, because the people who run it are big fans.
Nice.
The last thing will be over at Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakouts called Terran Treats, and they will offer a variety of snackies, including sweet spiral rations, which look like an out-of-this-world galactic-colored churro.
There we go. I love, like, never imagined in a Disney park that there would be a giant beer can.
It used to be a soda can, too, in the concept art, which is... I think it's so funny. Like, they're really not trying to hide that DCA is the drinking park anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I love, like, in the Pym Test Kitchen, they're going to have this device up top where you see, like, normal-sized pretzels go inside, like, a mini quantum tunnel and enlarge and then come out giant on the other side. Like, that's going to be a cool thing to watch and see happen.
Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see how they do that, because the conveyor belt for the food shrinking and growing is above your head as you stand in the queue to get your food.
Yeah.
All right. The last bit of news that they shared with us is a little more detail about the first attraction that will open with this land called Web Slingers, a Spider-Man Adventure. This will be housed inside of the Worldwide Engineering Brigade building, otherwise known as the Web Building, where Tony Stark has assembled young innovators like Peter Parker to help create new technologies and give the everyday people the equipment they need to become heroes. Inside, you will team up with Spider-Man to help him capture out-of-control spider-bots before they wreak havoc across Avengers Campus. During a Web open house, guests will be asked to wear 3D glasses and test drive their latest invention, the Web Slinger vehicle, which allows riders to sling webs like Spider-Man. This ride will blend virtual environments and physical sets together using specially designed technology that detects body movements and gestures to show guests slinging webs from their own wrists. And there's also no height limit for those of you with kids.
Yay, that'd be great.
And yeah, as a plus,
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Tom Holland is reprising the role of Peter Parker / Spider-Man for this ride. So if you were worried about the whole Sony thing, fear not. Because he's going to be in the parks now.
Yay. I love... obviously, this is like a more modern and, you know, more money thrown at it version of the Lego Ninjago ride from Legoland, where you're using your hands to fling the webs instead of using, like, a gun on Toy Story Mania. So... The Lego ride is great, and I do love that, but sometimes it's hard to, you know, get it right, basically, and get your hand in that right position for the sensor to pick up and do that. So I do hope that, you know, with Disney doing this kind of ride system, that it makes it easier to be able to aim and shoot where you want to shoot at. The other thing I love about this ride is it's all indoors, but what they said is the sets are going to be made to look like you're outside, actually in the land, going through the land. Like a piece of concept art I saw, you can see the Guardians of the Galaxy building in the background, and you see the giant beer can that's going to be for the beer area of the Pym Test Kitchen. So it seems like they're going to bring in a lot of the, you know, props and set pieces from the land inside to make you feel like you're actually going through to save the campus from these spider bots.
I'm really interested to see how the gesture tracking works. I haven't done a Lego Ninjago ride at Legoland, but I've seen it, like, videos. Everyone talked up this ride a whole lot from the construction tour last week. So I'm interested. I think it's a shame. Again, a really immersive land opening with their, like, second-tier attraction instead of, like, their keynote attraction.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But I mean, for this one, I can understand.
Yeah,
because at least, you know, with Rise, like, it was supposed to open at the same time, and, you know, things happen. But this Avengers ride, they haven't even been trying to build at the same time, because from what I've been hearing, this is going to be on the level of Rise, where it's going to do things that you've never seen Disney do in a ride and combine several different ride systems. So this is, it seems like it's going to be a very ambitious attraction that they're going to need to take a few more years to fine tune.
And having finally experienced Rise, I'm very excited to see what that Avengers building ride will be.
I mean, I've heard things from, like, you know, kind of Kuka Arm, kind of like Forbidden Journey, to, like, a new type of ride similar to that kind. Like, honestly, we at this point, it's too early to tell, but it feels like there was I feel a rumor I heard, like, you're on the Quinjet, and then you, like, eject out of the Quinjet and fly down into Wakanda. So it's like,
I'll cry if we go to Wakanda.
No, yeah, that's confirmed. There's a piece of concept art for the ride that shows all the heroes battling in Wakanda. So you're definitely going to go to Wakanda during the ride.
Okay, then it's confirmed. I'm crying.
The whole ride system just is fascinating to me from what I've heard. So, I can't wait for that. But, you know, that's phase two. That'll be in the future.
Right. So, July 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Here's hoping.
I mean, yeah. As of the time we're recording this podcast right now, the CDC just issued saying, we recommend businesses stay closed at least 8 weeks, which is far longer than the 2 weeks Disney had said. So we could see an extension to that. Who knows? So if it really ends up being 8 weeks, then we're not going to see the parks open until sometime in May, which is crazy to me. But that still should, you know, put Avengers to stay on track for a July 18th opening, especially if they consider actually continuing with construction during the downtime, because, you know, it's not, I'm sure there's not a huge gathering of construction workers at one time like you would have of guests in a park. So there could be a chance that you'll see, you know, construction on Avengers, and even like here in Florida with Tron, Ratatouille, the Jurassic Park coaster at Universal. Those projects could ramp into high gear if the construction continues, because then they don't have to worry about the guests in the park.
Right. And then those are small teams too, so if any of them exhibited any kind of symptoms, they could get tested and self-isolate and take care of that pretty quickly.
Right. So this could very well be a silver lining to the closures, is that these projects could now quickly move. Obviously, that's unconfirmed. We'll see. I'm not sure if they're going to delay construction or not, but the potential is there.
Yeah, so tentatively, July 18th. Let's cross our fingers and wash our hands.
Exactly.
All right,
next up, tell me, Brittany, what are some things, we're all self-isolation now, what are some things that we can do inside the house?
You can watch Disney Plus.
What a good idea.
And there's a brand new, I know you guys like documentaries, right? Brand new docuseries that will premiere on March 20th, the same day that Animal Crossing New Horizons comes out, called Disney Insider, that will take you behind the scenes of all things Disney. And when they say all things Disney, they mean it. Literally, the parks, the movies, the TV, the news, the everything, all of it.
Oh, man, I cannot wait. I love good behind-the-scenes stuff. I love the Imagineering story. And this is going to take that kind of concept and really, you know, expand it to, the whole company. It very much reminds me of Walt Disney World Inside Out from the 90s on the Disney Channel, where they're going to go behind the scenes of the parks and the rides. Like, I think I saw, what did I see? I think I saw some stuff arise in the trailer. There was, I think, Beauty and the Beast may have been in there.
They had Lunar New Year stuff from this past year with Mickey's designer costume in there. There was some animatronic in one of the first like few shots, but I have no idea what it's from.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Like, it's going to be interesting to see what exactly they do show parks-wise.
And keep in mind that this, like all of Disney Plus's other original series, it will be a weekly drop, so you'll get one episode this Friday, one episode next Friday, and on and on.
I can't wait. I seriously can't wait for that.
They will also show a sneak peek of Drawn to Life, which I got to see a sneak peek of when I was in town for the Runaway Railway media event. And I got to tell you, that Cirque show is going to be killer. So you guys are really going to love what they show you, I'm sure. Okay, another Disney Plus thing while we're all sitting indoors. Disney threw us a bone, and they gave us Frozen 2 3 months ahead of schedule on Disney Plus for free. I don't think it's even out of theaters yet.
I don't think so either.
But you can stream it now in HD as of Tuesday, March 17th. Today is the 15th when we're recording this. You'll be able to stream it in UHD. So for now, it's just high def, but it will be super ultra high def on Tuesday.
That's awesome. Such a great thing for Disney to do. And they also, like speaking of early releases, they released Star Wars Rise of Skywalker early on digital platforms. It was supposed to come out on Tuesday, the 17th, but it got released, it was, I think, late Friday or early Saturday morning for people to go ahead and buy and download.
Yep. I imagine that will be added to Disney Plus soon. Because
I would imagine so.
Yeah, because when they announced that they were adding Frozen 2, they said it wasn't going to be added until Sunday the 15th, and it was actually added the evening of the 14th. So they even put it up a day earlier. Pretty much as soon as they started announcing that parks were closing, that movie was up there.
So go catch Frozen 2 if you missed it in theaters, or if you're waiting for it to come out on Disney Plus. And, you know, also go catch Rise of Skywalker, because, you know, regardless of what you feel about the movie, I'm in the middle of watching the documentary, and I am in love with this documentary.
I've seen clips of it on Twitter. I don't know if I have the heart to watch the movie yet, but I will watch the documentary.
You honestly would you would absolutely love the documentary, because it really like goes in depth about the making of the film as well as the history of all the films, and you get to see a lot of like behind the scenes and outtakes from the original trilogy, where they kind of intercut it with like behind the scenes and outtakes of the new movie, and it's such I'm only like a fourth of the way through it, but I'm just having a ball with it.
I've decided what edition of the physical I want. I want the Target one.
Yeah? Why is that?
Because the art's pretty.
Oh, okay.
And because it comes with an essay book by Phil Stozak from Lucasfilm in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the art looks the best. It's kind of like similar to the art for New Hope in the way it's designed. You'll have to look it up if you can. I don't even know if they're still for sale, but... when I pick up a physical, that's one I'm going to try to get.
Awesome. Before we move on here, because we're getting ready to start getting into some of the more serious stuff, let's go ahead. So, I mean, this may be the last time I ask this. Brittany, how many more days until Animal Crossing?
5. Can I talk about it for a little bit? Is that okay?
Talk about it for a little bit.
A little happy thing before we get into the sad stuff. Okay, so I got my console. I moved all my data over from my previous Switch to this new one. I gotta say, it is very nice for a special edition console. The theming is great. The color palette is great. It's nice to, because I had custom painted Joy-Con for my other Switch, and I had to wear plastic covers on them because they were white, and my dirty hands would stain them. So I had to wear plastic covers to keep the paint from getting stained and chipping off. So it's really nice to hold a Joy-Con without a cover on it now. It took me 30 minutes to put a screen protector on it today. But it's really great. I'm very excited. And my pre-order has not shipped from Target. But if something happens worse in the way the universe is going right now, I've decided I'm going to buy it digitally, even though I've already paid for the physical.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised you didn't do a digital pre-order.
I don't like digital games. I'm about to get on my physical soapbox here.
I was going to ask, because I've always like debated, like, do I get physical or digital? Is there a difference? Like, does it matter? Is one lag more than the other? Like, what's your reasoning?
Okay, so here's my thing. You buy a digital game, you can play it. I think the game will go up at midnight on Friday. So like midnight Thursday night. So you can play it as soon as it goes up. But with Animal Crossing, you're supposed to play it in real time. If you play it at midnight, all your animal neighbors are going to be asleep. But with digital games in general, for me, consoles are constantly in a state of refresh. There's always new generations coming out. This year alone, new generations of Xbox and PlayStation are expected to come out. Whether or not they will now because of CV19 is yet to be seen. But with those comes the eventual kind of extinction of their eShops and their online game stores. And let's say you bought a digital game and you had it and it worked great for the entire lifetime of your console. But if you're a person like me that keeps your legacy consoles and games, let's say something happened to your Switch 10 years from now and you wanted to play Animal Crossing again, but you lost it and needed to re-download it from the eShop. If the eShop for Switch is closed, you can't get that game back. Even though you paid for it, you didn't own it. So that's why I get all my games physical, because I experienced this. I bought, and it was just like an indie game. It was the 8-bit Scott Pilgrim vs. the World game for Xbox 360. I bought that, and they eventually took it off the Xbox game store. And somehow it got deleted off my Xbox. And even though I paid for it and I played it, I couldn't get it back. And it's gone from all game, like, web stores now. I don't think you can play it at all.
Wow.
So I get physical if I can.
Let's get physical.
A lot of indie games I like are digital only, and that's fine. But with all of my, like, first-party Nintendo releases, I always get the physical cartridge, because one day, 10 years down the road, you're going to want to plug that Switch up to the TV and play. And if you, like, what if they close the eShop, you know? It's going to be gone.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. I never thought about that.
But if the coronavirus tries to take Animal Crossing away from me, I'm going to buy that game twice. I don't care.
What if Nintendo was like, we're going to release it 3 days early?
Then my Target order better get here 3 days early, because I paid extra so it would come on release day.
Well, it's like, we're only releasing it digitally 3 days early.
I'll fight someone at Nintendo. We'll throw hands.
Well, real quick, I guess, you know, I would be saying that we would only have 68 days left until Fast and the Furious 9 comes out. But now, because of this stupid virus, I have to say, we have 383 days left until Fast 9 comes out.
Tell them why, Banks.
They pushed the release date back because of the virus. They don't want people gathering in a movie theater, which I understand, and it's fine, but I'm still mad.
They did the same thing with Mulan and Quiet Place 2. Black Widow's still coming out on time, though. But so far, those are the only film delays I've seen. I've seen that they've also delayed production on The Batman. And
Jurassic World Dominion.
And they've suspended filming on Succession Season 2, or whatever season they're shooting now. I don't watch that show, but I follow a lot of people that on Twitter that watch that show.
Also, the final season of Supernatural, they only have 2 more episodes left to film, and they put a halt on that.
Dang. Well, I don't know. Hopefully, if everyone is self-isolating as they should be, we can flatten the curve, so to speak, and kind of reach some form of normalcy very soon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Banks.
it's still coming, so.
Yeah, it's still going to happen. The movie's done. They're just going to wait till it's safe.
Now they have no excuse. If the film comes out and any of the CG looks horrible, there's no excuse. They got
right,
an extra year.
They got like a full extension, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right, well, let's get into it here. So, before we talk about the closings of it all, Brittany, we do have some actually really sad news.
Yeah, really sad. We were both, you were a CP too, right?
I was.
Okay, so we both have personal ties to this in a way. As of yesterday, the 14th, the Disney College program ended, or announced that it was ending next week at Walt Disney World and Disneyland, due to both resorts' closure for the coronavirus. Specifically for Walt Disney World, a post was shared with DCP cast members that all participants were required to collect their belongings and depart their housing complexes by March 18th, which is this coming Wednesday, at 11 a.m., and after which many of the complexes will be closing. Walt Disney World will also be temporarily suspending the DCP, the Disney Culinary Program, Disney Cultural Exchange Program, and Disney Academic Exchange Program due to the closures effective March 16th. So that's tomorrow, on the day that we're recording this, Monday. This will also include international cast members commonly referred to as ICPs in guest relations roles. All CPs will be paid through the end of the month, and their weekly rent deductions will be waived, so it means they'll get a little bit more on their paycheck, but still. Each participant will be given a successful program completion rehire status in the event that they want to come back to the Walt Disney Company or pursue another college program stint. And since this has come up, we have an update. Disney released a statement that I will read to you now. This was a note sent to DCP participants, just so you know. Dear participant, we wanted to check in with you today after yesterday's news, which we know caught many of you off guard. These times are certainly changing very rapidly, and as we have shared before, we are basing our decisions on the safety and well-being of our cast members and our guests, since there is nothing more important than that. Some of you have expressed concern about getting home. If you have a specific situation, please see a cast member at the Disney Service Center. Please know that no one will be without accommodations. We are working with each individual resident to help find the right solution to each unique circumstance. Given the uncertainty of the times, we still believe the right thing to do is to encourage everyone to return home. Similar to the way college and university programs are prioritizing social distancing, we made the difficult decision to suspend these programs based on guidance from local, national, and international health agencies. This decision was not made lightly, and we understand many, if not all, of you are disappointed to be leaving this way. If you would ever be interested in continuing this experience, we want to keep in touch so we could welcome you back when the time is right. We know some of you have already expressed interest in returning, and if you have not expressed your interest, you can do so by completing a linked survey. We will reach out to participants that express interest once we have additional information. Thank you so much for your continued understanding, dedication, energy, and passion you've shown working for Disney. We appreciate each of you. Together, we will get through this.
Oh, man. It's hard to think about. Yeah. And it really makes me think that Disney, somewhere in Disney, they know they're most likely not going to open on April 1st. Because like if they knew for 100% fact they were going to open April 1st, this wouldn't have happened because, you know, that's just 2 weeks. The CP programs last until May. So they knew like, okay, yeah, we're probably going to be closed longer than this. It's going to not make sense to keep the CCPs here. So they had to make this difficult decision. And it's hard. Brittany and I, we were both college program cast members years and years apart. My college program was Fall Advantage of 2007. So I was there from May 2007 to January 2008. And it was the best time. It was a great way to introduce myself to the Disney life and living in Orlando. I honestly would not be sitting here talking to you guys without the college program.
Same.
100%.
I started, my program was Fall Advantage 2016. It was right after I graduated college. I wanted to use it to transition moving to Orlando, and it just seemed like the easiest thing to do. It definitely taught me how to work really hard.
Yeah.
Very, very hard, and learn how to budget money and live with other people. And without it, I would not be sitting here talking to you either.
Yeah.
I appreciate everything that the DCP taught me, all the people I met around the world. You come in contact with so many people. One of my best friends on my program was from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, can you imagine, there were kids that literally got here for their program last week that are now being forced to leave, not even 9 days after they showed up.
Yeah.
And while before Disney's second statement was released, a lot of worry was going around on social media about international college program students who were trying to get home despite travel bans going into effect around the world, where they were going to live, how they were going to afford to get home if they spent all their money to get there. And it was amazing, honestly, to see the Disney community kind of rally around these kids and try to take care of them.
So many people, us including, we're wholeheartedly planning on, if anyone needs it, opening our houses to anyone needs a place to crash for a week or two, you know, or, you know, store their stuff in the garage while they're trying to find a place to move to. Like, we're doing it. I know a lot of people are doing it. It's the least, you know, as locals that we can do for these people, because this is this, like you said, this was a shock, like, for a lot of these cast members. And I mean, I just gotta say, like, I have to go back to my personal history of this program, because it meant so much to me. I didn't know that the college program was even a thing until my first year of college in 2005. I was helping out with, like, the student organization at the University of North Texas, and someone in the organization was a recruiter. And I, you know, I grew up loving Disney and loving the theme parks, and I was like, what is this? I can actually earn credit and work at Walt Disney World? What a dream. Oh my God. I had no intention of moving to Orlando. I just wanted to be able to go work at Disney for a little bit and earn some credit. And that's what that was my whole plan. I moved back to Texas when my program was over. But, you know, it's the people that you meet in the program, and I'm going to cry.
Hold it together. Come on.
I met Sydney during my program. Like, Oliver and Spencer wouldn't be here without the college program. And so this program not only is important to, you know, these kids who want to work for a big company, but it's very important for, you know, people's friendships and their future. So, like, I feel like I can't fathom what they're feeling, but I can understand what they're feeling.
Yeah.
And, like, seeing, like, just seeing video today of the final Festival of Fantasy parade, and the grand marshals for the parade. They always pick a family in the park to be the grand marshals. For today, they called them the CP family, and it was a group of like 10 college program cast members in the grand marshal car. And just what a nice way to honor them and the hard work that they do, because there's going to be a lot of empty places now at Disney without the college program kids.
I think the estimated number is 4,500 cast members, and Walt Disney World employs like 33,000 ish, right? I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a lot.
I think the amount of Disney cast members overall is around 70,000, because I know I've always remembered it because it's about the size of my the population of my hometown.
Dang. Well.
Yeah.
If the parks reopen at the end of March, right now it's kind of up in the air. Please be nice to the cast members that are still there. They will likely be shorthanded, overwhelmed, probably overworked. It's a huge transitionary period, and I hate to be the Debbie Downer here, but I can't help but wonder if this was a cost-cutting measure in addition to the social distancing.
I guarantee you it was, because, I mean, you know, Disney's going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's no secret. This is going to cause them to lose a lot of money. So they have to make the cuts where they can. And, you know, unfortunately that meant, you know, ending the college program early and sending them home. So they didn't have to worry about paying them for 2 months. And then, you know, of course, all the entertainment that they just cut abruptly at Epcot in the Royal Showcase with the drummers and the British band and the juggler in Italy, like, they're gone.
Yeah.
So, they're definitely, which makes me worried for a lot of other entertainment. Like, I'm legit scared for the Streetmosphere at Hollywood Studios. This isn't Hollywood. I'm legit scared for them.
I would think that as long as they're, well, I don't know, they might be contracted. If they're contracted, I would have reason to worry. But if they're like full time, you know, equity or whatever, I think they'll be safe.
Yeah.
Because Disney ultimately is doing this to cut down on social interaction, to prevent the spread of the virus, and to ensure that they have the funds to pay their full part-time seasonal cast members for their hours while the parks are closed.
Exactly, exactly. Everything, as much as this all sucks, everything is done with the best intention.
Yeah.
And I can see that, and I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't lessen the blow and how much this really sucks.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they said something again. And I encourage you, if you happen to be a CP listening to this, or if you know CPs, encourage them to go talk to their housing team and get them help to get home.
Yes, yes. And please, like, if you are listening to this and you need any help, my Twitter is at Banksley. Shoot me a message. I believe my DMs are open. I am here. I will help you move things. I will help you store things. I will help you crash on a couch for a week. Me and a lot of people here are here for you. So just, you know, don't be afraid to reach out.
Yes, please. These times are tough, and we're not going to get through them unless we all try to work together with everything.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, all that is... All the things we've just been talking about is because of one thing and one thing only. And that's what we're going to talk about in the main attraction, and that is the coronavirus, the COVID-19 that has become a global pandemic, which is, you know, not something that should be taken lightly. It's bad news. And so to prevent the spread and to try to contain it, a lot of places around the country are canceling concerts, events, and places are closing that get a lot of people, including the theme parks. And do we want to kind of go through the timeline of, like, how all this snowballed, like, starting with Disneyland?
Sure. I don't have, like, the order.
I don't know if you have a... Yeah.
Yeah, what I have pulled up is if you go to attractionsmagazine.com, for the past week, I've been working on a coronavirus theme parks and attractions closings and updates page, and it is sticky to the front page,
yes.
So it's always up there. It's always the first thing you see when you go to the website. I update that every time I see something new close, or if it closes early, or if they release a new statement about something staying open. We try to keep that as updated as possible. You can pull it up if you want.
Pardon my language, but I've got to give Brittany credit here because she's been working her ass off on this, like, full time. So, Brittany, like, thank you.
It's the only thing that's keeping me my anxious brain. I crave structure and things to do. So this has been keeping me busy. It's a lot, though.
It is.
It's literally like every major theme park in the world right now. It's it's hard to not be scared, I think.
It really is, especially like for us. This is our line of work. Like, it's no secret. Brittany and I are the only two full time employees at Attractions Magazine. This is our job. So, like, these things are affecting us, and I'm sure not as much as, like, the college program kids or a lot of the other people around the country, and I'm sure there are businesses out there, and you guys are much more affected about your closures than this, but we have a horse in the game here.
Yeah, we do. We feel it. You know, our stakes may not be as high as others, but we got some skin in the game too. I will just let me run through what's closed, and then we can talk about it. Okay, as of right now, Walt Disney World is closed. Disneyland is closed. The Disney Cruise Line is not operating. Or Universal Orlando is closed. Universal Studios Hollywood is closed. All SeaWorld parks and resorts, that include SeaWorld Orlando, San Diego, San Antonio, Busch Gardens Tampa, Busch Gardens Williamsburg, the Sesame Place parks, the Aquatica parks, the Adventure Island Water Park in Tampa, those are all closed. Legoland Florida, Legoland California, about half of the Six Flags parks, so that includes Hurricane Harbor Phoenix, Six Flags Discovery Kingdom, Magic Mountain, Over Georgia, America, St. Louis, Frontier City, Fiesta Texas, and Over Texas. Dollywood has delayed its 2020 season opening for 2 weeks from March 14th to March 28th. Knott's Berry Farm is closed. King's Dominion has delayed its park opening until April 4th. Cedar Point is, its water park is closed, but as far as we know, that park is still open. Carowinds has postponed its opening until Friday, April the 3rd. Silver Dollar City has delayed its opening to Saturday, March 28th. Let's see. Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex is closed. Holy Land is closed. Bock Tower Gardens is closed and will not reopen until April 3rd. Zoo Tampa is closed now, I believe. I need to update that. Crayola Experience, all of the locations in Easton, Pennsylvania, Orlando, Bloomington, Plano, Texas, and Chandler, Arizona, those are all closed. San Diego Zoo and San Diego Zoo Safari Park is closed. American Dream in New Jersey is closed. The studio tours for Warner Brothers in Hollywood, Paramount, and Sony Pictures are also closed. AMC Theaters have cut the seating capacity in half for all of its theaters from now through April 30th. Disneyland Paris is closed. Tokyo Disney Resort is closed. Shanghai Disney Resort is closed. Hong Kong is closed. Universal Studios Japan is closed. And I just added this today. Motion Gate Dubai is now closed until March 31st, after which they will reevaluate and decide if they're going to open or stay closed longer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's basically the whole theme park tourism industry is shut down. And everyone... unless otherwise noted, pretty much a majority of these parks are staying closed through the end of March. And then come April 1st, they will reevaluate or reopen. But you know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, literally today, the CDC recommended things stay closed for 8 weeks. So it is entirely possible that all these parks could continue staying closed through April.
Yeah. And... I think I remember this correctly. Back when Hong Kong, Tokyo, and Shanghai first closed, Disney projected an average loss of $135 million. That was half the parks. The other half is not closed.
It's so weird to sit here and think about, like, every single Disney park is closed right now. We have never seen this in history. Yeah. Yes, like, you know, some of the parks close here and now, here and there from, like, you know, earthquakes in California. 9/11 happened. You know, the parks closed for a few days. You know, hurricanes here in Florida. I think, you know, Tokyo's closed sometimes because of earthquakes out there. So
I think Disneyland closed for JFK.
Yeah. So it's not the first time a park has closed, but it is the first time that every park has closed.
And for this long.
Yeah. For even more than a week. Yeah, so,
usually it's just a week or a couple of days in the case of hurricanes in Florida, but this is unprecedented. This is huge.
And it's extended not just Disney, but, you know, I think all the Universal parks are closed, and now SeaWorld and Legoland. It's just, it's, yeah, sit here and I'm like, what? For us, what are we going to cover? What are we going to do? Like, I can't go out and get new videos. What the heck am I going to do? That's like just the you know, the first world problems of it all. But, you know, because, you know, other people have probably been more affected than we are, of course. And, you know, my heart goes out to anyone who's affected by any closing. I hope everyone's doing well and keeping their family safe and fed and everything. So, yeah, it's just so weird to sit here and think about all these park closings.
Yeah. It was the right thing to do. And I'm really glad that the big two, you know, Disney and Universal, chose to close as soon as they did.
Yeah.
if they had closed any sooner, that probably would have been better. But they started doing what they needed to do and making the decisions as soon as they felt like they needed to. So
yeah, you could definitely point to Disney was the one that started the trend. Like they were the first one to say, we're closing Disneyland. And that's what kind of started the snowball building up for all the other parks to then decide to close. Now, I do have a story to tell because I was in a unique position to be at the Magic Kingdom when all of this started coming undone.
Wait, really?
I was. And I was with Disney's PR people. To start the story, basically, so this past weekend was supposed to be the annual Disney Dreamers Academy with Steve Harvey. It is a wonderful event. I got to cover it for the first time last year. So emotional, so inspiring. They bring in 100 teens from across the country to you know, hear speakers and learn how to, quote, be 100, be the best version of themselves they can be, take workshops based on things they want to do, turn their lives around. Like it's if you ever get a chance, look it up. We have a video from last year, watch it. It's great. I fell in love with the program and I knew I wanted to go back and cover it again this year. And so we were there for the first day of the event, of the media event, and we were covering the pre-parade at Magic Kingdom, and then they took us to Disney Springs, yada yada yada. So during the event, we started seeing the news that Disneyland was closing. And so, of course, we're messaging, Matt and I are at the event, we're messaging Brittany, be like, all right, let's get this written up. This could be the start of something here. Let's get ready. They may start expanding it. But we, you know, obviously weren't expecting them to announce Disney World so soon because, you know, this event was still going strong. The PR people were still very confident that this event was going to continue this weekend. And so then we get to the Hall of Presidents where they're going to do the opening ceremony for the Disney Dreamers Academy. And we're waiting in the lobby with all the teens and their chaperones. And, you know, it's a little delayed. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, it was a little delayed last year, too, because Steve was a little late getting in. I figured, you know, he was having issues flying in because of everything that's happening with the travel. I didn't think anything of it. And then they bring the kids inside. They tell the media to stay in the lobby and not go inside. And then the PR people come out, and I saw their faces, and I'm like, what's going on? And they told us, like, with tears in their eyes, they made the decision to cancel the event. And, like, my heart sank. Like, because I saw firsthand last year how much this event meant to these kids. And, like, I felt so horrible for these kids because they were, like, flying in and they were looking forward to, like, an amazing weekend of learning things. And now that was just abruptly ended, you know, like the CP program. So we were trying to figure things out, and, you know, a lot of the media had been flown in by Disney to cover this, so they were now trying to scramble to find flights to get them back home. And so Matt and I are looking on Twitter, and we're like, wait a minute. Well, first off, someone asked, after the PR people were done telling us about the event being canceled, someone asks, we know Disneyland is closed. Is Walt Disney World going to be closing too? And they said, no, right now we are staying open. Everything is still fine. Literally 5 minutes later, we look on Twitter and CNN breaks the news that Disney World will be closing. So I go up to the PR people and I say, hey, FYI, I'm not sure if the communication has gotten to you guys or not, but look here, CNN's reporting it. And I was the one to break it to the public relations people of Walt Disney World. And it was like the weirdest feeling to be the one to tell the people that are in charge of the image of Walt Disney World that they were closing. So, you know, of course, they started scrambling to figure what was going on. We continued the events because we had a dessert party for Happily Ever After. And this kind of the feeling between us all was like, we're just eating there, having dessert, knowing in a couple days this park's closing. It was an interesting feeling. So that's probably going to be a night I'll never forget, because like being there on the spot as this was being broken and happening was unreal, unreal.
To contrast your story, it's not a secret that I work remote from Austin. So Matt Banks and I, we all keep in very close contact, like 24/7. We're always chatting in various group chats, trying to keep everyone clued in on what's going on. And it honestly, like from here, felt like the world was ending over there.
It felt like that on the ground too.
It was like every 5 minutes, like I couldn't even get a post up fast enough before another park would announce it was closing. It was insane.
Yeah.
And I mean, I tried to not think about it, and just try to be productive. But I definitely, like, I'm not going to lie, I freaked out after we, like, quit for the night. And that was at, like, 8 or 9 o'clock my time. So, like, 10 o'clock your time was when I, like, called it a night. And, yeah, I mean, this is just unprecedented. I mean, I know that this isn't the first time a pandemic has happened, like H1N1 and SARS before I was born and everything. Man.
Let me tell you, like, because, like, yeah, everything just went quickly. And just walking through, so walking from Hall of Presidents to the Tomorrowland Terrace for the dessert party was surreal, because you could hear in real time guests and cast members finding the information out for the first time. And just the confusion that you could hear in the air and the chatter. It was like, I can't even describe it. It was so weird.
And I mean, if you thought that this was just some like super cold, super flu thing, it isn't.
No, it is not.
The Disney and parks closing makes it super real, as if it wasn't real before.
And yes, the survival rate is very, very high. But you have to think of it this way. Like, this is a virus that can lay dormant in your body and you not feel a symptom for, like, up to 14 days.
And so certain age brackets can be asymptomatic completely. So you could have it, transfer it to someone else who is immunocompromised or old, and you wouldn't even know that you were sick, but you could harm them.
Exactly. Health-wise. And that is the main reason why this is all happening. That is why we need these social distancing. So I just want to make sure people understand that. It seems overblown, but it's for a good reason. And, you know, if it ends up that, you know, nothing, if it ends up that not a lot of people die or get sick, good. That's the reason. That's the point. So, like, yeah, I understand this has to happen, but it still doesn't take away the surrealness of that 24 hours. My phone died at the end of that event, and honestly, driving home, it only took me like 45 minutes to get from the Tomorrowland Terrace to my house, and that whole 45 minutes, I had no idea what I was going to come home to. I had no idea when I got home and opened that computer what I was going to see, and that was scary.
I know I made jokes about I'm just living until Animal Crossing comes out, but this is ridiculous. it's just, try to have some empathy for others and stay home. Distance yourself. I literally stayed home on my birthday. If I can do that,
by the way, because we are recording on your birthday.
I didn't have any cake. I didn't get to go have food at my favorite restaurant because I wanted to stay home. So if I can do that and make the little sacrifice now, so can you guys. And it's only for a little while, because there are statistics out now where if 75% of the population does the social distancing thing, we could flatten the curve substantially and keep a lot of people from getting sick that could actually, you know, it could be fatal. Because, like, for people in, like, mine and Banks' age brackets, we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point.
But this is a disease that can affect anyone of any age. Because I just saw an article saying that a newborn got it.
And you can get it more than once, too.
Yeah.
I don't know about you in Orlando, but here in Austin, in Travis County, we have 5 confirmed cases now.
We have at least 24, I think, just in Central Florida.
But there are more being tested. My doctor's office just opened up a drive-through testing center where you take a quiz on their app, and if you pass it, i.e. you have all the symptoms of coronavirus, they give you a scheduled time to come through the drive-through, and they text you your results so you know if you need to stay inside and wait it out or not.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
I hope that they have some stuff here, too, for that, because, like, look, I'm not going to lie. I'm worried about Spencer. Like, she's showing symptoms. Like, she's been coughing for the past several days, and her fever gets pretty bad in the morning and at night, like burning up. I haven't noticed any shortness of breath, but I'm still, you know, as a parent, you're worried.
Yeah.
So she has a doctor's appointment tomorrow, so we'll see what we can do from there. But yeah, like if you think you have like the symptoms, coughing, shortness of breath, fever, if there's any sort of resource where you're at, you know, just go and get it checked out.
Yeah, take care of yourself, and by doing so, you will take care of others. So, yeah, this is like an unprecedented weird time, and I know we're getting super oddly political on here right now. But this is like, this is a worldwide thing where like humanity is at stake, and we have to think of others instead of the self, you know, to get existential about it. But
we'll get through this. We will get through this. It's going to be a interesting time, but we will persevere. We will get through the end of this. If you guys want to check out, because like, yes, we want to, you know, be socially distant, but you know, some of us on our Attractions Magazine team have been out in the parks on the final day because, you know, a lot of people want to see what's going on. We have video of some of the shows and World Showcase that ended. I think we're getting ready to post video from the ending of Magic Kingdom. They had the Josh Damaro came out with a lot of characters on the train station for a special moment. So we'll have video of that, I'm sure, when you're listening to this. But, you know, if there was no reason to go out, we wouldn't go out. But this is our job, so we did want to document this because this is unprecedented. So, you know, just stay safe, wash your hands, hand sanitizer, all that fun stuff. I did take Spencer out on Saturday to Hollywood Studios because I had some fast passes and I wanted her to be able to ride a few rides before she couldn't go to the parks for 2 weeks because she's out of school for 2 weeks. She's got spring break, but her school also closed an extra week, and who knows if it's going to stay closed even longer. So I want her to be able to at least get a couple of her favorite rides in before I had to tell her she can't go to the parks anymore.
Yeah. And I also want to reiterate, cause Josh and I are going to try to do this now that we, cause he has been told, by Warner Media to work from home until further notice. So he's working home with me. You can go outside if you are self-isolating, like take a walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, go outside, sit outside, and take your computer. You can still get Wi-Fi from your house, depending on the distance that you're sitting from your house.
Yeah, it's not like you can't breathe into the air and stay in the house at all times. You just got to avoid getting into crowded situations. If you want to take a walk around your neighborhood, if you want to go to your local park, do it. That's fine. Just, you know, maybe think twice if you want to go out to eat at a restaurant or go to a bar.
Order food in. I literally did that tonight. I ordered Uber Eats from one of my favorite restaurants. I had the delivery person leave my food on my welcome mat on my porch, and I tipped them very well because they're still going out and getting stuff for you, and they don't have to, but they got to make money too. So that's something you can do. I know a lot of apps like DoorDash, and we have a local one called Favor. They now make dropping off no-contact food deliveries as an option that you can select instead of just asking for it. Uber Eats hasn't added that yet, but I'm sure they will.
It's just an interesting time. Yep. And I'm sure this will not be the end of our discussion of this.
Nope.
At all. We'll have a weekly COVID-19 corner. We'll talk about any other new closures or extensions to closures. But we just make sure you're all safe.
I shouldn't have laughed at COVID corner, but I did. I apologize in advance, but I'm probably going to post a lot of listicles of things to watch on Disney Plus.
That's fine. We need things to do.
Yeah, that's like my go-to article idea when nothing's going on is listicles. And I've been watching a lot of Disney Plus the past few days. So get ready for that, because if it's a slow news day, you're going to get them.
And I will go ahead and say, I guarantee you, next week on the podcast, we're going to be talking a little Animal Crossing.
A little.
A little.
I'm going to be stuck inside. It's all I'm going to be able to talk about. Come on, Nintendo. Don't delay it. Don't do me dirty. I've waited so long for this.
I have to wait a year now. You'll have to wait.
No, don't put that bad juju on me.
Oh, it's all good. It is all good. So thank you guys so much for listening through this. I know there's a lot of information there, but we hope that you know take this and do what you will and stay safe, stay isolated, and just be good. We care about you guys. And if you want to hear anything in the future, if you have any ideas for segments or things you want to hear differently, shoot us an email, info@attractionsmagazine.com, with the Attractions Podcast in the subject line. We want to hear your feedback. We would love to answer questions. We're definitely going to be probably doing a lot of question and answering for the next few weeks.
I really want to answer some questions. I don't know about you.
I do too.
I really want – this is me nudging you. Listener, send us some cues to A.
I love Q&A's, and that's I'm honestly, that's probably what we're going to be doing for Early Night Live for the next few weeks, is I don't think we're going to be going out, so we'll just probably sit in the house and do some Q&A's.
That's fine. You know what else you could do on ENL?
What's that?
Play like board games or something? Like, do you have any theme park themed board games?
Oh my god, yeah, I have Tower of Terror Clue. I think I have Haunted Mansion Life.
Because Animal Crossing comes out on Friday, sometime this week, in my severe boredom, I'm going to start streaming on Twitch, just like playing games and hanging out. So you guys could do that. Bust out some like board games on ENL, do like a trivia game or something, do like a live watch of something on Disney Plus. Like, there are things you can do. Literally, there's a whole culture on the internet that's just hanging out live streaming. So
you know what? I have an idea.
Ooh.
Because I don't know if Ava has ever seen any of the old sing-along songs.
Boom, baby.
And I think a Disney sing-along song is in our future.
And that's like, people love that. It's, you know, and it's honestly, it's a good way to skirt around social distancing, but still feel like you're hanging out with people. Exactly. Totally encourage it.
There's a special, yeah, crazy one called Beach Party at Walt Disney World.
I love the Beach Party one.
I
Slice
do too.
And
oh
sand.
My god!
Yeah.
Oh my god! With celebration starting off in the back lot at Studios, and God, I love that one. And then Camp Out at Walt Disney World.
I used to have all of them on VHS, so I'm pretty sure Josh has them. We have a VHS closet in our office.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure they're all in there.
Fun fact, like Camp Out and Beach Party at Walt Disney World were originally part of a series called Mickey's Fun Songs. But now, in DVD re-releases, they've put them underneath the sing-along songs banner.
Oh. See, when I had them home released, they were the Disney sing-along songs, and I had the Join Right and Sing Along with Your Favorite Disney Song, that thing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a more recent one, because when I have, and back home in Texas, I still have the original VHS of Beach Party at Walt Disney World, and it was Mickey's Fun Songs, Beach Party at Walt Disney World, and it was no sing-along song intro, it was a different intro for Fun Songs.
Huh.
Well, I gotta dig that up and see if I can find it.
Yeah, dig it up, and then, I don't know, maybe, like, you could watch the tape and then find, like, a rip of it on YouTube or something, because I'm sure that exists, and then link it in, like, the description and encourage people to watch it with you, and then,
yes,
like, have the camera set up so it's pointed at you and Ava, and you can, like, react and stuff. That would be cool. I would watch that.
Oh, all right.
We're gonna get
good
through
idea
this
week.
We're just gonna get inventive with our content.
Yes, we are. All right. Maybe we can do some special live streams for our subscribers.
If you know, there's something I want to try. If we can figure it out, do a live stream recording. I know it would be tricky. Of like me here and you there.
I think we could do that through Skype.
I have a camera. Like an
I have
HD
a camera
webcam.
Too. That's a little, we'll look into that.
That would be a later thing, but maybe we can try.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got some ideas, but for right now, for those who may want to, you know, watch any of your gaming live streams, Brittany, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, and at twitch.tv/BritPlays, and that's BRITTTPlays. Because someone already had Brit Plays with two T's.
Boo. You should, you know, sue them.
I'm going to email Twitch and demand that they give me that username.
Yeah, you totally should. No, they'll just add, they'll add a fourth T just to be like, no, here's a fourth T instead.
It's already so long.
You can find me on Twitter at Banksley, on Instagram at Disney Goofball, and of course all of the Attractions Magazine socials on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and of course attractionsmagazine.com for all the latest updates for closures and things like that. So stay tuned. A lot more is probably going to happen over the next week, next few weeks, but like we've said many times, we will get through this.
Yep.
We hope that you guys have a great week. Stay clean, stay safe, and stay yourselves. What the heck was that about? I don't
that
know.
That was very after-school special of you, Banks.
I don't know where that came from. But anyway, you guys, we will talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.